Okay. I do want to make one additional note. We are still working. There are almost, I believe the last time we checked this, we have 17 clients for whom we are seeking SSPs to assist them in the community. So we still have something of an unmet need, and we'll be working to meet that need. We are looking for appropriate SSP assistance for those 17 clients. I believe Margie could help clarify this if necessary, but I believe that this is the population of our deafblind clients who do not use ASL and have a different communication modality. And so we are open to ideas on how to locate appropriate providers for that nearly 1.5 dozen clients. And I don't know if Margie would like to add anything to that report or not.
Sure, thank you, Chris. This is Margie Santos. So yes, we have several clients that that are deafblind. They do not use sign language. Some of them use texting. Some of them use Braille. They do not use sign language at all. And they need to have an SSP that's going to meet them where they're at. Some of them have cochlear implants, some of them have hearing aids, and so they need to have the facilitation of communication. Just as much as somebody who needs a sign language interpreter, they do need somebody who's going to facilitate the communication when they're in the bank, things that they're missing. They do need the sighted guide. So we're actually looking for SSPs that are hearing and use spoken English. I have one client that has tried to get an SSP, but he uses Braille only. He does speak, but he's completely blind, completely deaf. He does speak, but he uses Braille. And we need somebody who can assist with sighted guide to help training and things like that. So I do have several clients that are not receiving services. And so if you know of anybody who is willing to work with these clients, maybe possibly a vendor. There are several vendors here. If you know some place that I can contact to get other people maybe on board on a contract or something, just so that these clients can be served. They are being, you know, lost in the cracks. Thank you, Chris.
And this is Jesse. I have my hand raised. Can you spotlight Jesse additionally? Okay, great. Yes, Jesse here. I did have a question. I was just looking for some clarification. Those clients looking for SSPs, what organization are they under? Are they under CAN or are they under something else? And now can you spotlight the interpreter?
Okay. So yeah, they are under our agency, under VESB. Several of the clients that are actually select clients that were part of the original pilot study, the whole reason why this grant is even in place. This grant was started by many parents and guardians of individuals who were students, and they're part of a pilot program that they were studied to receive these services. So the family members and the parents, they advocated legislation to get this grant money. Well, the whole purpose of that grant money was, honestly, it was for those students. And then over the years, it has changed to incorporate other people to partake of this grant money. But so we're talking select clients. The whole reason for this grant money and the reason for having the statute and things like that, they're not being served because we do not have SSPs for them. So if anybody should get the services, first and foremost, it should be these select clients. They are supposed to get it first and foremost, and I feel it's really, really sad when I'm having to tell them that they you know, there's nobody to serve them. And they're, like I said, they're being very isolated. Some of them, they're completely deafblind, and they do not have an SSP that is hearing and speaking, and that is needed for training purposes, that is needing for taking one of my clients to the grocery store who does have hearing aids and is completely blind, and they need the services. So I'm trying, I've been looking for a way to get this pushed through, trying somebody who, like, you know, a vendor, somebody who's interested in taking on this responsibility of getting, you know, workers for these people. So if anybody, a vendor, if you have any kind of connections behind the scenes, please email me, and I will put my email in the chat.
Okay, this is Hannah Tyler, your chair. Are there any other questions? And also, Chris, are you on that?
Excuse me, Lisa. Lisa Flaherty is trying to speak. If somebody...
Go ahead.
So can we spotlight Lisa? Just 1 second. So is there any sort of, you know, advertisement that maybe we could send out to the independent living centers in the area? I was just thinking that maybe an avenue we can take to spread the word.
So this is Margie Santos. I will look into that. I'm trying to gather ideas now of how we can disseminate the information. But the problem is, if we did give it to the Center for Independent Living, who is going to actually pay them? And so I'm not sure. I still don't understand contracts and different ways of funding and invoicing and things like that. So I'm not sure if the money goes to the Center for Independent Living or if it's going to go to a particular vendor. I still have to learn what to do with that specifically. So any information that I could just gather ideas right now. I'm just gathering ideas of what I can actually do and how to present this and bring it to the people who do the contracts and know how to write the different, if it's a contract or if it's maybe linking with somebody else, if CAN could hire people that are hearing and use spoken English to accommodate these clients, that would be perfect. That would solve the problem. But I do need someone who can service these clients.
Lisa, again, could you spotlight me? So I think that what I was trying to say is that even if we just advertise, like maybe like a job posting in some sort of way where we can state and clarify the need of what these individuals need and then utilize the independent living centers as a mode of spreading that word, they may then be able to reach out to BESBE and have names, and that's all I was trying to suggest. Spotlight the interpreter, thank you.
Great, thank you very much. I appreciate that, thank you.
Okay, so Hannah Tyler. Those are very good suggestions. Okay, next on the agenda, we have report on BESBE BRS meeting about deafblind classification. Would that be from Chris Lassen?
Yes, so thank you, Hannah. I could take that.
Right.
So we... BESBE continues to, the staff here at BESBE are meeting on an ongoing basis with some of the staff from the Bureau of Rehab Services. In fact, we have a follow-up meeting scheduled tomorrow afternoon. And we are working on developing a protocol for assisting each other in serving our clients to the best of our ability. The Bureau of Education and Services for the Blind, most of our clients are legally blind, and we do have a way to serve clients whose vision loss is progressive and who are significantly visually impaired. And that population, called visually impaired progressive, or VIP, is the population served by BSBY that is not eligible for a certificate of legal blindness, which is a particular document that carries some legal weight and is BSBY issues under the guidelines of our enabling legislation. So I just thought it would be useful to explain that we serve sort of hundreds of adult clients every year. Most of those clients are legally blind. Some are visually impaired progressive. We've been working develop a greater understanding of that, the two designations among all of us who are working to serve our deafblind population, of persons with deafblindness who were assisted through BSBY and specifically through this grant.
If we could switch interpreters now, please. Thank you.
Okay, this is Hannah Tyler. Next on the agenda, I have meeting dates for 2023, but I didn't get a listing of the meeting dates. Chris, I think
that's yes, I am. Thank you. Thank you, Anna. Yes, so I'm proposing the following four meeting dates after some internal discussion here. We generally meet in January, and then in April and July and October. And we meet usually on the last Tuesday of the month. So with that in mind, the proposed meeting dates for 2023 are January 24th, April 25th, July 25th, and October 24th of 2023. And we could have, I suppose it would be appropriate to have a meeting, a motion to adopt those meeting dates.
Okay, I will repeat those dates again. January 24th, 2023. April 25th, July 25th, October 24th. May we have a motion to approve?
Hi, this is Lisa.
Second?
Yeah, Lisa, she's asking to speak. If we can spotlight her, please.
Okay.
Yes. Okay. Here we go. Yes, I move, this is Lisa Flaherty. I move that those dates that were just mentioned be accepted for the meeting minutes, for the meeting for 2023. Can spotlight the interpreter?
This is Wayne Seidel. I second.
We need to spotlight the interpreter, please.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Okay, they are approved. Mark your calendars. Next on the agenda, we have BEFB program update. Would that be Chris Lassen?
Chris, do you want me to do that?
Sure, yes.
Okay.
Good morning, everyone. Again, this is Cheryl Sepulak, interim director at BEFB. And really the only big update that I'll give this morning is that we do have a new director coming on board here at BEFB starting November 18th. Her name is Carol Jenkins. She comes to us from Nebraska. She currently serves as the assistant director there and has a wealth of experience, both as a client of their system there and then coming into a board position and then being hired and working her way through the career ladder there. So we're really excited to have her starting with us. And she should actually, hopefully she'll be here and able to attend your next meeting.
This is Lisa. Could you spotlight me? This is Lisa. This is great news, but does she have any experience with our deafblind culture? I'm just curious what her exposure has been. I feel like we're constantly having to, you know, reteach every time we get a new person on board. Thank you. Okay, just okay.
Thank you for the question, Lisa. I'll be honest, I'd have to dig back through her resume and maybe even our interview notes. I cannot answer that question specifically, though I want, as I'm thinking, I want
to say,
yes, she's had the experience and again, has been part of the community almost her whole life. So I hear you, but I don't think you'll have as much education for her as maybe you did with me.
Can I jump in, Cheryl? Or
yeah, sure, Andrew. Do you remember?
Yes, I do remember her talking, and I don't remember the details. I'd have to go back and look at my notes, but I do remember being pleased hearing her discuss her work with deafblind issues. As Cheryl pointed out, she has been on the board overseeing the agency before she worked there. She has been a client of the agency before she worked there, and she's worked there for a number of years in different capacities, having risen to the level of deputy director for client services. And she has a knowledge of educational matters, vocational matters, business enterprise matters, and deafblind matters. Her experience was pretty broad and did include the deafblindness. And it was quite pleasing to hear. And she was an exciting candidate and one that all the interview, I'm jumping in more than I need to say, but we were all excited that we were able, that she was an applicant and that we were able to offer the job and that she accepted the job.
Thank you.
This is Hannah Tyler. Are there any other questions? That's exciting news. That's fabulous. Good to hear.
Thank you.
And I don't, this is Chris again. I don't know if either Crystal or Mary Johns has anything to necessarily report, but I will say, specific to the adult services program at BEFB, we've been, very happy that we've been able to cooperate with both the children's services program, and the vocational rehabilitation program in adult services as we plan to best support our clients who are making the transition
from the children's services program into the adult services program. They are typically supported also by vocational rehabilitation throughout adolescence. And we've had several transition planning meetings to best assist clients with deafblindness. So that's been, you know, really rewarding in the last 6 months.
Anna Tyler here. Thank you, Chris. Next on the agenda is report. I don't have anything to report, but it's open for any announcements, comments, concerns. Now is the time to speak.
This is Lisa. Hi, everyone. This is Lisa Flaherty Vaughn again. I wanted to share a story with you about a job at Independent Living Center where we were talking about referrals and meeting people who, you know, we were all working as a team and talking about how this can happen. I have a huge concern. Many of the people who work in this field are not accustomed to or not familiar with individuals within the deafblind culture. They often want to refer to either Besby or CAN as, you know, place to go to, as far as whenever we're talking about equipment, when we're talking about health aid, home health aids or support providers, or there just seems to be a lack of information out there about our culture. So I'm thinking maybe we could do a Deafblind Culture 101 where we could show them and explain to them where they could reach out and get this information, because there seems to be a lot of confusion about who we are, and I just would like to see maybe this. I don't know if there's money available to provide this, but I just think that there is a lack of information out there, that people do not have an adequate picture of who we are and how we function in the community. I spoke with my boss, and talked to them about, you know, providing this, and they told me we don't have the funding to do that. We don't have the funding for that. That seems to always be the response, is they're not getting adequate, you know, financial support to provide something like this. I think that there needs to be this type of workshop. Is that something that we could, you know, do through this, or, you know, through this group or through Besby? You know, I think that it would be valuable information to get out there. I mean, because we know that we're not a one-size-fits-all, that there is a variety of communication modalities, and there's just a lot of, you know, so much diversity within our community itself. We need to get some education out there. Thank you.
This is Hannah Tyler, Chair. I have a question. I'm wondering if perhaps on our site, Besby VRS, is there a separate section where people can access for more information directed to anyone who may be of interest to find out more? I think you have a good idea there, Lisa. But needs to be some access somewhere, and I know online's the way to go, but the people need to be informed of that. How do we go about it? I'm not sure.
Ms. Alvin? Just a moment. Ms. Hyde Alvin? Hey, everyone. I'm Alvin Cheggy, and I work with the Department of Aging and Disability Services as an advocate for the deaf, deafblind, and hard of hearing communities, and I deal with communication access throughout the Connecticut area. Maybe if Lisa, you could contact us, and Besby, maybe if the three of us could talk about how we could go about providing this type of education, maybe also talk to your employer and see what we could get, you know, made available throughout the state. I like that idea of a Deafblind 101, but please, Lisa, if you would reach out to me, let's see if we can get this to happen. Lisa saying thank you.
Okay. This is Chris. I also wanted to say that although Muriel Aparo is not here at today in this meeting, she and Margie Santos, who is the social worker for the Adult Services Program, who provides case management services to all of our consumers with deafblindness at Besby, are in fact engaged in some outreach work to partly explain, as I understand it, but I'll let Margie take over in just a moment, what issues our clients should contact Besby about, and what issues they might go to the Access Through Technology program to address. And obviously, Access Through Technology makes funds available from the Federal Communications Commission, and I won't, for communication devices to facilitate both access to the internet and telecommunications. So, but I do want to say that there is an effort underway, and that Margie and Muriel are, in fact, they have an event planned for later this week, I believe. And so I will ask Margie if she'd like to elaborate on that effort at all.
Yes, so this is Margie Santos. So on Thursday we have a meeting scheduled for CAN. There's been a lot of confusion. My predecessor had a lot of the services going through her, and so there was a lot of confusion, and a lot of clients thought that they needed to go through, I don't want to say people's names, but they wanted to go through the social worker of the job that I took over. So she was like the person, like the go-to person for Access Through Technology. She was the go-to person for VR. She was like the main person that everybody went through, and then she did all the referrals. That is not how our programs work. Muriel has her own specific program, and it is run in a particular way. Besby is another completely separate agency, and how we run adult services. So we're two different programs. Hers is the federal program, and ours is a state program. And then also there are, different applications with federal funded program like VR and things like that. But so mine specifically is adult services and independent living. So we're just, basically we're going there to do an overview. We're not doing individual counseling or individual services. We're just going there to give an overview. And then if people want to meet with us later on, then they can schedule those independent one-on-one meetings. It's not, we're not gonna discuss like each person's individual issues, whether it be with top technology or what they're going through, just because we are confidential agencies and we need to keep that confidentiality. It would be really unjust if somebody were to bring